Section 2, Indian Territory Joins the Confederacy. As you read, look for the reasons why the tribes split and supported both sides, the battles fought in Indian Territory, important individuals who affected the war in Indian Territory, and vocabulary terms, neutral, guardianship, and guerrilla. Confederate officials were very aware of the rich resources in the Indian Territory. Those resources included abundant horse and cattle herds for food, hides and mounts, grain, lead deposits for making ammunition, plentiful supplies of salt, and men for additional soldiers. The territory was also strategically located as a buffer between north and south and could be a central base west of the Mississippi. In February 1861, Texas leaders approached the five tribes about aligning with, supporting, the Confederacy, but some of the Indians declined and decided simply to do nothing, to keep quiet, and to comply with our treaties. The Civil War, however, quickly spread to the Indian Territory. Only three military forts were manned in Indian Territory in the spring of 1861. Fort Washita was in the southeast corner of the Chickasaw Nation, present-day Bryan County. Fort Arbuckle was about 60 miles northwest of Fort Washita. About 160 miles northwest of Fort Washita was Fort Cobb, which was on the Choctaw lands that were leased for bands of Comanche and other tribes. In April 1861, secessionists, those who supported withdrawing from the Union, at Pine Bluff, Arkansas, seized military supplies that were to be distributed to the forts in the territory. Orders from Washington were to abandon the Indian country west of Arkansas and march the Union troops to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. A regiment of the Texas State Militia took over Fort Washita in late April 1861. Federal troops lowered the flag with military honors at Fort Arbuckle on May 4th, and then marched to Fort Cobb with the Texans close behind. From Fort Cobb, 11 military companies from the abandoned forts headed north to Fort Leavenworth. Taking sides. Some of the five tribes wanted to remain neutral, not take sides. Others saw advantages to siding with the South, and still others to siding with the North. Joining the South's cause would mean the loss of a large amount of money owed to the Indians by the federal government, but many believed they had already been abandoned by the U.S. military. The withdrawal of federal troops left the tribes to fend for themselves. With no U.S. military presence, the Indians had to accept the Confederacy in their territory or fight it on their own. Some tribal members even held out hope that if the South won, the Indians could return to their ancestral homes. For many Native Americans, joining the South seemed to be the best choice. Confederate President Jefferson Davis named Albert Pike as Commissioner of Indian Affairs. Davis sent Pike, a popular Arkansas attorney and journalist, to negotiate with the tribes in May 1861. At the same time, Ben McCullough of Texas was appointed Brigadier General and given command of the Indian Territory. Pike and McCullough traveled together to meet with Cherokee Chief John Ross at his home in Park Hill. They urged Ross to sign a treaty with the Confederacy, but he refused, saying that the war would destroy his people and that it would be cruel, quote, to engage them in the white man's quarrel, end quote. Pike continued his mission by signing a treaty with the divided Creek Nation in July, followed by treaties with the Chickasaw and Choctaw tribes. In August, he made treaties with the Seminole, Quapaw, Seneca, Caddo, Wichita, Osage, and Shawnee. The general provisions of all the treaties were similar. The Confederacy assumed guardianship of the tribes and became responsible for all the obligations to the Indians imposed by former treaties with the United States. A guardianship occurs when someone legally has the authority to make decisions for and care for and control all of the property of someone. As Pike was returning to Arkansas, messengers told him that Chief Ross, not wanting the Cherokee to stand alone, wanted to meet with him. At a meeting of 4,000 Cherokee, the tribe decided to join the Confederate cause. Even before Chief Ross reluctantly signed the treaty, his longtime rival, Stan Waddy, was drilling a group of mixed-blood Cherokee horsemen to fight for the Confederacy. Waddy's regiment was called the Cherokee Mounted Rifles. Confederate Indian fighting regiments quickly formed. Former Indian agent Colonel Douglas Cooper commanded the Choctaw and Chickasaw Mounted Rifles, which was supported by a Texas Cavalry regiment. Daniel McIntosh and John Jumper led units of Creek and Seminole. Chili McIntosh and James M.C. Smith led Creek battalions. In addition to Waddy's unit, John Drew, William P. Ross, and Thomas Pegg led another Cherokee unit. Confederate Outpost. A Confederate outpost, a station in a remote or sparsely populated area, was built in the Indian Territory on the Texas Road in November 1861. Commissioned by Pike, the post was located northeast of present-day Muskogee and named Fort Davis, also called Cantonment Davis, in honor of Jefferson Davis. A sloped terrain helped hide the 13 buildings at the fort, which surrounded a prehistoric mound. In March 1862, Fort Davis was abandoned, and Pike's troops moved 150 miles southwest and built Fort McCulloch, near Kinnifick in Bryan County, on the Blue River. Fort McCulloch was located on the military route between Fort Smith, Texas Supply Towns, and Forts Gibson and Washita. Use of this outpost decreased after Pike resigned in July 1862. It later was used by Indian refugees and briefly by General Stan Waddy. War on Indian Land. Pike's mission through the Indian Territory had opened old wounds. The Indians who supported the Union or who wanted to remain neutral felt overpowered by those who favored the Confederacy. The Upper and Lower Creek were divided before removal, and treaties with the United States had further divided them. The McIntosh-led Lower Creek had moved to the Indian Territory several years before Opothleyahola and the Upper Creek came to the new land. The tribes' differences in the Indian Territory weren't always openly hostile, but the distinction continued, and the Civil War brought out the dissimilarities. The Loyal Creek Fight for Survival. In spite of the Confederate treaty, Upper Creek leader Opothleyahola and a large number of followers appealed to the Great Father, President Lincoln, in Washington, D.C., for help. They wanted to remain with the Union. The group became known as the Loyal Creek, but included about 6,500 Indians from many other tribes. While the Loyal Creek awaited word from Washington, the white and Indian troops under Confederate Colonel Cooper learned of their attempt to seek federal help. The Loyal Creek had camped at the junction of the Deep Fork and North Fork of the Canadian River. Possibly to avoid a confrontation with Cooper's regiment, the Loyal Creek, led by the aging Opothleyahola, headed north toward Kansas, a Union state. On November 19, 1861, Cooper's 2,000-man regiment attacked the Loyal Creek at Round Mountain, probably near Yale or northwest of Tulsa. Darkness halted the skirmish, with neither side claiming victory. During the night, the Loyal Creek continued moving north but left behind most of their possessions. The Confederates retreated to reorganize. The weather turned bitterly cold. Opothleyahola led the group to Chusto Talassa, or Caving Banks, on Bird Creek, north of the creek settlement of Tulsi Town, Tulsa. Cooper's forces again attacked their camp on December 9th. Once again, the battle ended in a stalemate, and Cooper retreated to Fort Gibson. Battling the cold and dwindling supplies and ammunition, the Loyal Creek moved their camp to Chustanala, west of Skiatook. The Confederate troops attacked a third time on December 26th. In a battle that lasted 4 hours, Apothleyahola's people were finally defeated. The survivors fled into the wooded land, still intent on reaching safety in Kansas. The dead and wounded were left to freeze in the blizzard, while the other survivors, many hungry and barefoot, continued north. Apothleyahola was one of those who struggled into Kansas. The great leader survived the trek to Kansas, but he died in March 1863. Many of the others who survived arrived with frozen hands or feet that had to be amputated. The refugees suffered greatly from disease and the lack of food, and many Indians died from the miserable conditions. It would be years before they could once again rebuild their lives in the Indian country. Pea Ridge. Battles raged on many fronts in the eastern half of the country, and most resulted in Confederate victories in the first half of the war. Even though Union wins were fewer, they did occur. Union forces won a decisive battle at Pea Ridge in northwestern Arkansas in March 1862. More than 10,000 Union soldiers, commanded by Brigadier General Samuel Curtis, battled 16,000 Confederates, led by Major General Earl Van Dorn, McCullough, and Pike, at Elkhorn Tavern on Pea Ridge. 800 Cherokee troops, led by Stan Waddy and John Drew, joined in the fierce battle. After 2 days of fighting, the Union forces won. Some 4,600 Confederates, including McCullough, lost their lives at Pea Ridge, compared to 1,400 Union soldiers. Pike retreated into Indian Territory, abandoning Fort Davis and setting up Fort McCullough. The Indian Expedition. The loss at Pea Ridge weakened the Confederate position in the West. Union leaders in Kansas summoned troops from Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, and Kansas, as well as 2 Home Guard regiments of loyal Indians, and formed the Indian Expedition to regain the Indian Territory. Union General James Blunt placed Colonel William Weir in command of the Indian Expedition, which began June 1, 1862. After several skirmishes with Stan Waddy's cavalry, Weir faced the Confederates at Locust Grove on July 3. The Southern troops fell back under heavy artillery fire. The Union soldiers proceeded to take over Fort Gibson and Tahlequah, capital of the Cherokee Nation, where they were welcomed by Chief John Ross. Even though the Union forces had captured Fort Gibson and Tahlequah, poor leadership and rumors of a counterattack sent them back to Kansas. Ross was taken into protective custody and, with his family, was sent to Philadelphia, where he remained for the duration of the war. In October 1862, to keep the Confederates from advancing across Union lines, Blunt's 2 Union brigades fought Cooper's Confederate forces in northwestern Arkansas. After several battles, Cooper's troops retreated to Fort Wayne in the Indian Territory, while other Confederates went to Huntsville, Arkansas. In a surprise attack, Blunt drove Cooper out of Fort Wayne, east of Jay, leaving a cannon, supplies, and 50 prisoners. Black Troops. In May 1861, freed slave and abolitionist Frederick Douglass called for African Americans to participate in the Civil War. The Union War Department had authorized the services of black men in 1862, and the effort was finally endorsed by President Lincoln in 1863. James Henry Lane, senator from the new free state of Kansas, was the first to organize a unit of African American soldiers in August 1862, the 1st Kansas Colored Infantry. The 11th Regiment, United States Colored Troops, recruited from Fort Smith in 1863, saw its first military action in 1864. The 265 men were deployed to the Indian Territory to guard government stock and hay at Gunther's Prairie, 12 miles northwest of Fort Smith. About 300 to 400 Confederates attacked them on August 24th, but the 11th Regiment held its position, forcing the Confederates to retreat. The Battle at Cabin Creek. Colonel William Phillips had been left in command of Union Indian troops in the northeastern part of the territory. In addition to combating Stan Waddy's raids, Phillips helped protect and find food for the Indians who remained in their homes. Phillips had also spent much of the winter trying to convince the Cherokee to resettle on their lands in the Indian Territory that Union troops had recaptured. Encouraged by Phillips, many Union Cherokee met at the Cowskin Prairie in the northeastern corner of the Cherokee Nation in February 1863. At the Cowskin Prairie Council, the Cherokee withdrew from the Confederacy, declared Stan Waddy and his followers outlaws, and abolished slavery. They elected John Ross as chief and Thomas Pegg as acting chief. There were now two Cherokee governments in the territory. By April 1863, the Union had recaptured Fort Gibson. Union troops built a mile-long, 18-gun earthwork, a fortification made of earth, called Fort Blunt, on a hill above Fort Gibson. A Union supply train, escorted by Colonel James M. Williams and the 1st Kansas Colored Infantry, two units of white soldiers, and the 3rd Indian Home Guards from Kansas, headed toward Fort Gibson on July 2, 1863. All of the creeks and rivers were swollen due to recent rains. The high water finally receded enough for Williams to lead the supply train through Cabin Creek. Waddy and his regiment were waiting at the creek to capture the supply train. After a bloody battle, the Union infantry held off Waddy's men, and the supplies arrived at Fort Gibson as planned. The Battle of Cabin Creek was the first engagement of the Civil War in which black, white, and Indian troops fought side by side. The Battle of Honey Springs. The morning of July 17, 1863, dawned with a summer rain. Union troops were tired and hungry, but somewhat bolstered, strengthened, by news of great victories earlier in the month at Gettysburg and Vicksburg. Word reached the territory of a Confederate plan to have Cooper's Indian and Texas regiments join General William Cable's Fort Smith forces to attack Union troops at Fort Gibson. Union General Blunt decided to attack first before the two Confederate forces could join up. On the night of July 15th, he quickly began moving artillery and men across the swollen Arkansas River towards Honey Springs, a principal Confederate supply depot. Blunt's 3,000 men included the 2nd Colorado Infantry, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Indian Home Guard regiments, and the 1st Kansas Colored Infantry. Cooper's 6,000 Confederate troops included Waddy and two Cherokee regiments, Colonel Tandy Walker's Choctaw and Chickasaw unit, Colonel D. N. McIntosh's two Creek units, Colonel T. C. Bass's 20th Texas Cavalry, and other Texas forces. After a small skirmish early on July 17th, intense fighting shattered the silence of the peaceful countryside. In the thick of the battle, Union Indian regiments unintentionally moved in front of the African-American regiment, which had been fighting a Texas cavalry unit. The Indians quickly got out of the way, and the Texans charged into the 1st Kansas Colored Infantry's line of sight. Many Texans were killed. Confederate troops soon had problems with wet gunpowder and inferior artillery. After a two-hour battle, Cooper's forces retreated. Before they left, they set their storage buildings on fire, hoping to keep the Northerners from taking the supplies. Blunt's men managed to save some of the supplies. Blunt later said, quote, "They, the 1st Kansas Colored Infantry, fought like veterans with a coolness and valor that is unsurpassed. They preserved their line perfect throughout the whole engagement, and although in the hottest of the fight, they never once faltered. Too much praise cannot be awarded them for their gallantry." End quote. The Battle of Honey Springs was the largest, bloodiest, and most decisive Civil War battle in the Indian Territory. Other skirmishes in the territory followed, but Honey Springs joined the growing list of Union victories. The Battle at Perryville. Blunt's mission was to defeat the Confederates in Indian Territory once and for all. Cooper's Indian troops were still dispirited after their defeat at Honey Springs when Blunt attacked the Confederates on August 26, 1863. Blunt found them at Perryville, a major supply depot for the Confederates, located between Boggy Depot and Scullyville on the Texas Road. In the nighttime battle, the Confederates hastily retreated after a short fight, leaving behind supplies. After taking some of the supplies, Blunt ordered the town burned. Guerrilla Warfare. From September 1863, with the fall of Fort Smith, to the surrenders by the Confederate Indians in the summer of 1865, the only warfare in Indian Territory was guerrilla activity. A guerrilla is a member of a small military group that harasses the enemy. Colonel William Quantrill, a Confederate raider primarily based in Kansas, periodically roamed the Indian Territory. Indian raiders sometimes stole cattle and horses and burned Indian homes or villages. Stan Watie raided anything military that could be used by the enemy. Watie especially liked to patrol the Union supply line between Fort Scott, Kansas, and Fort Gibson, where thousands of cavalry horses were kept. Watie's raiders often drove away grazing mule and horse herds, which were badly needed by the Union troops. In June 1864, Watie's troops ambushed and captured the supply steamboat J.R. Williams as it made its way up the Arkansas River toward Fort Gibson. In September 1864, General Sterling Price, Watie's regiment, and Colonel Samuel Chakota, leading a Creek regiment, attacked and captured a supply train of 300 wagons and heavy military equipment on Cabin Creek, near where Watie had met defeat in 1863. The Confederate forces claimed huge quantities of food, medical supplies, and military arms valued at $1,500,000. In spring 1864, Confederate Indian units were reorganized, creating the 1st and the 2nd Indian Cavalry Brigades. Stan Watie, promoted to Brigadier General, commanded the 1st Brigade, and Colonel Tandy Walker, a Choctaw, commanded the 2nd Brigade. With practically no military action in the Indian Territory, most Indian troops were allowed to tend to crops and families. Indian Refugees. Neither the North nor the South had anticipated the many Indian refugees. The Loyal Creek, numbering about 7,000, eventually made their way to the refugee camp in Kansas. Confederate Indian refugees sought safety in Choctaw camps or across the Red River. Pro-Confederate Cherokee fled across the Arkansas River into the Creek Nation when the 1862 Indian expedition moved south. Others hastened to the Red River Valley as Union soldiers burned homes and harassed civilians. Following the Confederate defeat at Honey Springs in 1863, both Cherokee and Creek quickly got out of the way of Union troops. Confederate Brigadier General Samuel Bell Maxey attempted to care for the refugees along the Red River Valley, which sometimes numbered almost 14,000. The war ends. On April 9, 1865, at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered to Union General Ulysses S. Grant, ending the Civil War. Throughout the next few months, other Confederate commanders surrendered. The last Confederate commander to surrender was General Stand Watty, who gave up his sword at Doakesville on June 23, 1865. Just before the end of the war, but with Confederate defeat in sight, Creek leaders tried to arrange a general council of all Indians at Council Grove to present a united front to Union leaders. Union forces didn't approve of such a meeting. The five tribe Confederate representatives then met with delegates of several Plains tribes at Camp Napoleon on the Washita River near Verdun. The council adopted a compact of peace, which they planned to present to the United States. The peace plan among the Indians made little difference. The Indian territory was devastated. Many people were maimed or had died. Livestock, fields, fences, and homes were destroyed. There was no money. All too soon, the Indians had to once again find ways to rebuild their lives. It's your turn. Number one, why did many of the tribes support the Confederacy? Number two, what was significant about the Battle of Cabin Creek? Number three, when did the Civil War end in Indian Territory? The following is a summary of Chapter 8. Disagreements among the states over political and economic issues escalated and ultimately led to the American Civil War. In an attempt to ward off conflict, Congress passed compromises and legislation such as the Missouri Compromise, the Compromise of 1850, and the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854. None of these proved to be a permanent solution. The election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860 further split the country. War broke out in April 1861. Tribes were split in their loyalties between the North and the South, or whether to remain neutral. Old hostilities resurfaced. Indian regiments were formed, and Confederate outposts were built in Indian Territory to train soldiers for battle. Union forces won a decisive battle at Pea Ridge in northwestern Arkansas in March 1862. This weakened the Confederate position in the West. Indians sympathetic with the Union formed the Indian Expedition and entered Indian Territory from Kansas to reclaim Fort Gibson and Tahlequah, which had been controlled by the Confederacy. Black troops played a prominent role in Indian Territory during the Civil War. The Battle of Honey Springs was the largest, bloodiest, and most decisive battle in Indian Territory. By September 1863, guerrilla warfare reigned in Indian Territory. The Civil War officially ended on April 9, 1865, at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. The last Confederate commander to surrender was General Stan Watty, a Cherokee leader. The five tribes who had only recently recovered from the tragedy of removal were devastated by this war.